For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, there are a few things that Ovechkin hasn't done. Not many, but he's never scored overtime game-winning goal in the playoffs. The puck is free! And a great chance for Pavelje. Ovechkin scores! Now he has that playoff overtime goal! What else can he do? Washington wins 3-2.
Behind the net to Scheifele. In front. Shot! Score! Cole Connor! 2-1 Winnipeg! The slot shoots. Save made through traffic by Blackwood. Blackwell! Scores! It's over! This series is tied!
Racing up ice. More for LA. Hits the brakes. Hits the trailer. Now the chance!
One word to describe last night in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Drunk. That game
you,
in LA
you were the games.
Was like drunk. It was on a bender, that game in LA last night. Oh, and by the way, Duffer,
yes, sir.
Dallas's horn and LA's horn is the same horn as the third down Buffalo Bills style, like the So when you watch Dallas game now, an LA game, all you'll be thinking is that's the same horn that the Bills use for their third down stoppage. Like, let's get loud.
Do you know this to be true?
My ears are telling me it is true. I have no idea if it is, but it sounds very similar.
I think the Dallas one is different. And nobody in the league hangs on to the horn longer than Dallas.
Yes.
Like, to the point of annoyance and then some.
That's because their goal song is not that great. It used to be Dallas Stars.
Right.
Dallas. Yeah. It's like bad. Like, so hang on to the horn so that, you know, you don't have to play the game.
Speaking of bad, who was the worst player in the playoffs last night?
Ooh, okay, good game. Trivia question. Let me see who was playing last night in the playoffs.
I'll give you 85 chances.
Oh, man, like who is 85?
No. I meant number of skaters, like in all the games.
Because the game we used to play in the locker room.
That's actually wrong. It's like 160. My bad.
Okay, but the game in the locker room used to be like if somebody did something to your sticks or whatever, you'd be like, who did that? And it'd be like, 17 chances or whatever, it'd be like, well, number 17, like that's who it is. So I was thinking, who's 85?
Right. I misled
you. The worst player in the... Oh.
He lost, by the way.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick like somebody for the Oilers.
Yep.
And I want to say...
Yep.
Evan Bouchard.
Nope.
He was bad.
Opposite end of the number spectrum.
A high number. Oh, you know who had a really, 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 really tough couple of shifts and it was hilarious? Was Victor Arvidsson. He was, not at him. One time he slid, he lost an edge, fell down, came back in the zone, got tripped, lost his stick, got back up, lost a glove, picked up the stick, fell again. It was hilarious. I'm like, this guy, again, that game was drunk. So who has a high number? What, Skinner?
No.
No? Who?
I can't. You and I are going to have to work on this. We've had a season of spontaneity and immediate answers, and I feel connected with you. And,
yes.
And now I feel nothing. Jake Walman.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yes.
My gosh.
He got taken, like, that was not a penalty.
What? What are you talking
it
about?
It hit the glass. The
Who cares? He had already
yes.
committed more a good atrocities answer. In one game. He. This is unbelievable. He was losing his mind on Kuzmenko after a whistle in the crease.
Yes.
Ragdolling, whatever, didn't get called. He couldn't calm himself down enough, and then the next shift, takes a penalty when they were already down a man. Boom! They immediately score on the 5-on-3, yes. And it looks like the game is over. Then he proceeds to put the puck over the glass, and I don't care whether it was or it wasn't, but television broadcasts need to figure out a way to give us a better replay.
Yes.
Because watching that last night, I sure couldn't tell whether it actually hit off the glass and went out. So for 5 minutes, we sat there seeing Walman banging on the glass like a who knows what. Yeah. Trying to prove his point, and we got no good replays of it. So the league
okay,
has
so,
to figure out a way to get replays.
Because, again, I feel like ESPN was having...
On the ice for the game winner by Deneau.
Yeah, he was. ESPN's having a rough go in the first going here of the playoffs. They had games on Sunday. They didn't have Saturday, it was TNT. So Sunday, Monday, they had the games. And you don't get replays. You don't get explanation. It's been rough. So I, luckily, because I, working in the league, we get NHL TV. So I'm able to bounce back on my computer from like I went to the local broadcast, I went to the Sportsnet feed, and they have many, many different looks. And I'm like, why isn't ESPN getting those looks? Like Jake Walman should have moved his feet, should have skated up the ice, should have shot it off the board, maybe the low glass or whatever. He decides to take it like the lazy approach, not move, and then shoot it right off the top of the glass. It 100% clipped the top of the glass, Duffer.
How do you know that?
Because when you see the one replay that Sportsnet was showing, you see the puck changing direction.
Then why did Toronto not have that replay?
I don't know. Maybe they said it was inconclusive.
Okay, but I maybe don't understand that because you're adamant.
And
he was adamant, and I
he was adamant, and Chris Knobloch is like, I'm challenging, and he's not going to put his team down 5-on-3.
But he did, and they somehow survived, which allowed Edmonton to come back. That was the most miraculous 5-on-3 survival I've seen.
And the linesman that was right there, the linesman drops the puck, right? Mm-hmm. Faceoff gets one to Walman. Walman shoots it off the glass. It goes out. Walman kind of shows it to the glass. The linesman goes like this with the hand gesture, tip off the glass, and then the referees all get together. And there's the other thing, too. From where Walman was, mm-hmm. if he shoots the puck in the glass, in the stands directly, that puck's going to go 40 rows up, okay?
Where did
it ended
up
in the LA bench.
That's what
meaning
I thought,
it hit the glass and deflected up straight over. And over. Like, physics tell you that if Walman, from where he is, and if it doesn't hit the glass, it's going to end up at the top of the 100 level. Like, not in the LA bench. So, I don't know. They screwed that one. They missed that one. But the Oilers somehow, miraculously, my problem was not that it was a 5-on-3. My problem is that you're running out of time to come back in the game. Because when that happened, there was 11 minutes left in the game, and you're down by 2. Well, they still managed to come back because they tied it at 5. And
weren't they down by 3 at that point?
They were down 5. Yeah, you're right. They were down 5-2. And then it went... Perry with 7 minutes. It was 5-3 at that point. It was just a minute after. They just scored to make it 5-3, and then those penalties happened.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
But anyway, like, it just, to me, that game was so drunk. The McDavid goal to make it 5-5.
You knew it was coming. Like, it was so obvious it was coming.
It's so obvious it's coming.
And it ends up
but
being a terrible goal from Kemper.
Terrible goal from Darcy Kemper.
Yeah.
Awful. And I'm like,
with every passing goal last night, he looked worse and worse and worse. And that's why I thought the Oilers were going to win it in regulation.
Yeah, and not only the goals look worse, he made a save one time that the puck was right next to him, like on his hip, and he's looking over his left shoulder, like, where is it? And he's got it. It's right there. He was so shaky. Now, it's one game, and you can definitely kind of put it behind you. You won, right? And that's okay. But remember Connor Hellebuck last year? They won, what, 8-7 the first game against Colorado? And he's like, we won the game. I don't care. Well, they lost four in a row after that. So it's, you got to get your head on straight. But yeah, that game was a circus. Like, there was something happening every moment of the last period and a half, maybe, because the first period and so was very LA-esque. Like, there was nothing going on in the game.
Yeah, it's it's one of those ones. If you're LA, and like, you have to not be too critical of the fact that you won the game.
Yeah.
But there were some just horrific performances trying to close that game out. But again, the 5-on-3 power play could not have looked better. Their speed with which they were moving the puck, I don't know how they kept missing. And then the game winner is.
And how do you keep missing? Because Stuart Skinner couldn't stop a beach ball by.
But he got good, I thought, once it got to 5-2.
He made two or three big saves, but
it was really good. And then that's like nothing he can do on the winner. I think it's one of the worst game winning goals I've ever seen. Like, there's no velocity to it. There's an unintentional screen. There's a delayed reaction. Like, are you kidding me? That went in. Like, it was set up to be a nice goal. And then it turned it out being one of the ugliest.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. And I was thinking when that happened, so Fogle drives the net and stops about 2 feet short of the crease. Mm-hmm. But while stopping, it sends this big cloud of snow right at Stuart Skinner. And then he jumps to try to get out of the way. The puck is over-ender, like, you know, knuckle puck. It goes over. And I'm like, would the snow have affected the goalie in that situation? And I think it probably did a little bit, not enough that he couldn't have made the save if he would have had a good look at the puck and if it wasn't this knuckle puck. But it was, again, from start to finish, this was a weird one. Drew Doughty said after the game, I'm happy we won because that would have been a beeping way of losing, right? A game to lose.
Like,
Drew Doughty, did you see when... There was in the third period, Darcy Kemper covered the puck. Connor McDavid comes in and gave him a shot, like, you know, to get there. And Drew Doughty jumped on Connor McDavid, like grabbed him, and then realized, it's Connor. Played with him at the Four Nations. He's like my Team Canada, like, superstar. He would have punched anybody about 10 times in that situation. Mm-hmm. And instead, he was having a big smile in the scrum with Connor, just like, hey, bud, stay with me. Like, I'm like, I get it. I get it, you're friends or whatever. But you get Connor McDavid taking a whack at your goalie. Mm. That's a couple of punches. That's a free go. Like, go ahead. And maybe he's smarter than that. Maybe he thinks, if I punch Connor McDavid, I'm going to get a penalty because the referees are going to call it right away. But I felt like he wasn't emotionally in the game. That's how I felt with Drew Doughty.
Would you like a compliment?
I don't know. Go for it.
Are you good at taking compliments? Are you feeling like you'd like to receive a compliment?
I'll say thank you.
Okay. What is, I can't say the one thing I love about working with you, but what do you think I respect and appreciate the most about you as it pertains to in-game situations?
Oh, I have no idea. I try to think like the players. I don't know
the rule book. And if you have any doubt, you have it looked up within seconds and you provide incredible clarity. So my question to you is, would you be able to work on a national telecast when it seems like these networks rob broadcasters of common sense and they are forced to then ask an official rules analyst, hey, what is this? And like, I'm sorry, but I grew up in the world where if you're going to start broadcasting professional games, it was on you to know the rules. Yeah. So I'm sorry, but I don't like it when the play-by-play and the analyst turn to the rules expert and act as if they themselves don't know the rules. I think it comes across as really, really awful for the audience.
I know there's ways to interpret
the rule. Don't act like you don't know it.
I know that on WGR, like Shope and Bulldog and Jeremy and Joe, they don't like the rules analyst. They say this is a waste of time and whatever, and football especially. I kind of like the rules analyst because sometimes if you guide them in the right direction, they'll give you the right answer, the right situation, the right difference. They'll say, hey, we were at the, you know, at a meeting with the officials and the league said, be careful with this. That's what I want to know. Give me the inside of the referee's mind at that moment. Don't give me the rule because as an analyst, you're supposed to know the rule. But I feel like yesterday, so Anthony Beauvillier, we're going to jump to Washington-Montreal game. Okay, it's 1-0, shot from the point. Beauvillier tips the puck. It was very close to a high stick. It hits the goaltender. He gets his own rebound and scores. So, you know, they're like, goal, you know, and now they're like, oh, Montreal may want to challenge this. And they bring up Dave Jackson, rule analyst, and Ray Ferraro. I know Ray knows the rule, but I think Ray is being told, ask Jax what happens if they don't get it right. Is it a 5-on-3? Ray, you know it's a 5-on-3. They got a penalty for, you know, like, well, that was the Edmonton one, but ask, you know, the whole thing, like, oh, is it the shoulder or the crossbar? Ray, you know it's the shoulder. It's not a goal. Like, to me, that's where they use it wrong. Like, if you go to Dave Jackson, Jax, what about these camera angles? How hard is it for the referees and the situation room to know exactly where the puck is being hit because of camera angles? Yep. Now you're getting a referee's mind because the referee says, I'm talking to the NHL and I'm like, that camera angle looks high. This camera angle looks below the shoulders. How do we determine which angle we're going with? Like, this is a question you can ask a rules expert. Yep. Don't pretend like you don't know and then ask the question because I feel like that's why people don't like it. Because people at home know the rules. Mm-hmm. Like people that are watching the game know that.
But even if they don't, they trust the broadcasters to convey it in the moment and not sit around waiting for the analyst microphone to work and then ask them a obvious question that we all know the answer to.
And like, then they had a moment yesterday.
Dumbing down is too much of society, and I hate it. Like, take pride in your work and just and be good. It's not.
And then they had a moment yesterday, Duffer, where because Dave Jackson is at home, he's not on location. He's at home in a studio. He's got all the games on. And then if there's a situation in the game, they're going to bring, so they can bring him up in the Washington game. They can bring him up in the LA game. They can bring him up in the Dallas game. So I think it was the Washington game after the Beauvillier high stick that resulted in a goal. And they're like, okay, Jax, thank you very much. And maybe 2 minutes later, you hear Dave Jackson in the broadcast. Well, in the playoffs, unless it's a game seven, you don't have a spare linesman. There was something that happened in a different game, but somebody pressed a button and opened up Dave Jackson's key. So now he's talking over the broadcast in a different game. Like I think a linesman got banged up in the Colorado-Dallas game. But that was, so he was just saying, look, we had it last night where an official had to put the linesman's jersey on because there's not a spare linesman.
If
it's a game seven, you get a spare linesman. But his talking to the Colorado-Dallas game went on the air during the Montreal-Washington game too.
Oh, yeah. It happens. Many of us have been there.
Wow. The Montreal game. How about that, Duffer?
Yeah.
So
how about it?
The broadcaster jinx is always in effect and it happens many times and we have nothing to do with the game, but that's just the way it is. So Sportsnet is in intermission between the third period and overtime. And Ron McLean is talking about this, that, the other thing. And then he goes, oh, and also Alex Ovechkin has never scored an overtime playoff goal. Mm-hmm. He has 70 some goals in his playoff career, but never an overtime goal. Elliot Friedman right away goes, "Oh, Ron, if he scores in OT, the Montreal fan base is going to hate you." And sure enough, Ovechkin scores his very first overtime playoff goal. Mm-hmm. Kind of incredible that he's never gotten there. So what do I do? I'm like, well, I know I played game 7 against Washington his very first year in overtime, but it was a short overtime. We went to power play and we scored pretty much right away. Mm-hmm. But there was another game in the series where we went to second OT. And then I looked at the shot on goal. I think he only had one shot on goal that overtime. So, I mean, if he'd had 4 or 5, I would have, you know, toot my own horn. But I think he only had one shot on goal in 2 overtime periods. So it wasn't that great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Capitals horn.
Well,
I don't even know. Now that you've crushed
it's
me.
It's the very loud, like, siren or whatever. Mm. What a game.
Caps were lucky. I think Montreal is perfectly fine. They were exactly the way they've been the last few months. And obviously same with Edmonton. I picked the Oilers only because I just didn't believe that the Kings could find a way. And I don't feel particularly confident about the Kings after the way that game went. Excited that they scored a bunch of goals. But so moral of the story here is there's not a lot of separation between, you know, any teams in any series right now, which... I don't ever look at the playoffs anymore and think, oh, that's a clear-cut favorite. Like, I don't. I don't.
Or it's a sweep. Like, very, like, I never call for sweeps. Like, nobody sweeps.
But, however, there is one name that is not coaching in the playoffs right now who has been top of mind twice based on results in one particular series. Who is that?
Based on twice. I thought you were going to talk about Newsy Lalonde, Derek Lalonde, because yesterday Kevin Bieksa made a very sharp, funny comment about point shots on Vasilevsky. Because remember, 2 years ago or last year, he came out and said, no, that was after the Tampa. Anyway, he said, Vasilevsky's problems with point shots. We knew that in Tampa Bay, and John Cooper and the Lightning did not like that. So,
right.
So it's not him, because he's not. Not only is he not coaching in the playoffs, he's not coaching the NHL right now. Right. So that's Derek Lalonde. Ooh.
His name did come up on the show in a different context yesterday.
Rick Tockett?
Close. It was connected to that discussion. Mike Sullivan.
Oh, Mike Sullivan, yes.
And why am I bringing this up? Because Kyle Connor has 2 game-winning goals.
And he didn't play.
And Mike Sullivan is now the modern-day Mark Crawford, who did not use Wayne Gretzky in a shootout in the Nagano Olympics in 1998. The greatest goal scorer in National Hockey League history, until very recently, was not used in a shootout. Dominik Hasek won the game, won the gold. And granted, the Four Nations is not the Olympics.
Yeah.
I still don't know how Kyle Connor was held out of the championship game and whether this is in any way connected to his clutch abilities in the first 2 games of this series. But he's
there's a lot of players suffered that.
And good for Kyle Connor. I want the Blues to win this series, but if it's not going to go their way, I'm really happy that Kyle Connor is the difference maker.
Yeah, I mean, what a play in that game-winning goal, a tight 2-1 game. And Connor Hellebuck, a big bounce-back effort by him. I didn't think he was good in game one, despite the fact they won 4-3. And he was really good yesterday. Kyle Connor was huge, but Kyle Connor didn't play in the final game at the Four Nations faceoff. Mark Scheifele wasn't selected for Team Canada, and he has been fantastic. Nick Suzuki wasn't selected for Team Canada. He has been fantastic. Look, that game yesterday. So Washington has Pierre-Luc Dubois. And when Washington acquired Pierre-Luc Dubois, they said his best spot on the team is to be that top line checker. Like you play against the top line on the other side. He was really good against Suzuki, Caulfield and Slavkovsky the whole game. Mm-hmm. In the third period, Suzuki line draws a penalty. They score on the power play. And then when they scored to make it 2-2, who wasn't on the ice? Pierre-Luc Dubois. He was on the ice for about 90% of Suzuki's shift in the game. But the one shift that he needed to be on the ice, he wasn't. Suzuki scores a goal to make it 2-2. If that overhead camera of all the players, Logan Thompson included, sliding out of the crease and into the crease and out of the crease was, again, very comical. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think when you look at Suzuki not playing on Team Canada, Scheifele, Connor, there's a lot of guys that have stepped it up after the Four Nations faceoff. Maybe the rest was good and the little chip on their shoulders was really good as well.
Well, to counter that, both were excellent before the tournament and after.
And that's why
Canada
they should
clearly
have been
did not make any wrong decisions because they won the tournament. The only reason this is a point of emphasis is because the U.S. didn't win and they didn't use arguably their best, most consistent beyond like an Austin Matthews goal scorer in the NHL in the last 8 years.
And they didn't have Tage Thompson. So they're like, hey,
but Tage is not Kyle Connor. Kyle Connor's body of work and consistency is unbelievable.
But if you have other guys on your team that can put the puck and fill the net and there's 40 goal scorers, you're like, okay, Kyle Connor, you know what? You're going to sit that one out because I don't like the way you're playing. But you have one game, not a best of 7 game, one game. And you want to put all the, you know, your eggs in the same basket and you'd leave him out. Anyway, he was great. You know, Winnipeg has looked really good. St. Louis, Jim Montgomery after the game, it's all about, hey, the shots are about the same. The scoring chances are about the same. They made one more play than us in each game. That's basically what it is. Now St. Louis is going home. That series could go long. That series could go really long, St. Louis, Winnipeg. And it could be done in 4. I'm not saying like, but it's so tight that it's one play that changes the game, you know, and it did that in the first 2.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are deep. They're able to withstand the injuries on their side. I think the Blues aren't as deep, so the lack of Holloway is more impactful just within their group. It, of course, on the surface, it's like, oh, both teams are missing guys, so you got to get over it. And that's why Winnipeg was the top team in the NHL. They have tremendous depth, and it is showing once again. All right. We never really got into Amherst legend Colin Blackwell scoring in overtime last night. We'll do that when we come back. Who emerges as the new hero in Bandit Land? Friday night, the quarterfinals begin, and it is Buffalo and San Diego. Get your tickets now. Bandits.com/tickets. There is nothing like this experience, let alone the fact the Bandits are two-time defending champs, six-time champions overall, and they were nail biters against San Diego in the two meetings this year. So just an incredible night awaits at KeyBank Center on Friday. Can't wait to see you in Bandit Land. We're back after this.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.